Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Damn, Skippy, we start now. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Again, appreciation to D&M Auto Leasing for giving us the opportunity to chat with the fellas this morning. Anything happen? How's our weekend? How did the weekend go? Anything fun occur?
There was a little bit of news, I think, that came out yesterday. I was relaxing by the pool all weekend. I thought this was going to be a nice, chill weekend. And then I honestly found the news. Some people started blowing up my phone, and I was like, oh my gosh, it actually happened.
Yeah, that's where were you when you found out that Kevin Durant is the newest Houston Rocket? That is the news. I imagine that you're not listening right now and just finding this out. If that's the way that I did it, I apologize. I feel like it should have been more ceremonious. Like, there's no way that people learn all of their news. What is the percentage of people that learn something like in news via the radio now?
That's why I've always said, like, the national networks still do those sports updates every hour. And I was saying, like, if someone is just finding out the score of their team's game at like 11:30 a.m., they must not be that big of a fan to begin with nowadays with all the technology we have.
Maybe they're just off the grid, you know?
I guess.
Which raises other questions. But, you know, neither here nor there. The Houston Rockets acquired Kevin Durant yesterday. I'm interested. Where were you? Because you said you were by the pool. I think I was just sitting around, and then I got the notification on my phone. And this is the funny thing. I literally jumped up out of my sofa as if, like, there was an actual game. Like, as if he had knocked down a shot in yeah. a game. Actually, as if he had, you know, actually, you know, made sure that his foot was behind the line in that Brooklyn series.
Yeah.
Like, if that had been the case, that is the way that manner of which I jumped up out of the seat and immediately was on my phone texting other friends mm-hmm. about the fact that Kevin Durant is a new Houston Rocket, and the trade goes as follows. Kevin Durant comes to Houston, and the Phoenix Suns acquired Jalen Green, Dylan Brooks, the number 10 overall pick in this year's draft, which they had previously gotten from, or I guess via Phoenix in a way. It had gone a long ways, but you understand that it was Phoenix's pick originally. And 5 second-round picks, a portion of the trade that I had honestly somehow memory hold until earlier this morning again, which it's weird because it matters, but it doesn't, the 5 second-round picks, because second-round picks just aren't very valuable in the NBA. However, also, you look at the finals, and there was a number of second-round picks playing in that, so I'm interested in asking you that. But that was the trade that ultimately goes down. What was your immediate reaction, and what is your reaction now to what actually it cost to acquire Kevin Durant?
I don't think it cost much. I loved it. When I saw it, so, you know, like I said, I got the text that just, the first text was actually from one of my brothers, and so, like, hey, your Rockets got KD. And I was like, oh, wow, it actually happened. Went online, looked at it, and I thought, this is all they had to give up? I love the deal. We talked about it last week on The Drive, where for those fans that were anti-Kevin Durant, how would you feel if you were able to get Durant without having to give up much? And I think that's exactly what happened here in this deal. This whole offseason, the Rockets offseason, not the NBA offseason, just began today. But the Rockets offseason, since they were eliminated, we've been talking about the potential of getting Kevin Durant now for weeks and months, really, going back through even the season. And I was always on the side that as long as it didn't cost you much, I wasn't all in on the Durant camp. But if you could give me Kevin Durant and still keep all those pieces around him, yeah, why not? And that's exactly what they're able to do. And I'm surprised it worked out this way. But as we were getting the reports last week about how the price had to keep dropping for the Phoenix Suns and teams weren't as interested as maybe the Suns thought, it seemed like this was going to become a reality where you could get Durant at a bargain. And I think that's what the Rockets did. We could break down all the different parts of the trade, but honestly, just to give you the quick answer, I have no issue with anything the Rockets gave up. I think they, on paper, completely won this deal. I love it. You get Durant, you don't have to give up much. You keep all the other no-touch players around him, the guys you weren't going to give up, and you have a great roster on paper to move forward. I love the deal.
No, I completely agree with you in that. I for a moment in trying to, you know, probe out all the various different corners to see if I missed anything, and maybe this is like the contrarian within me, I was like, okay, maybe I don't love losing Dylan Brooks, like, as one, you know, 3-and-D guy and easily, I think, your best spot up shooter this past season. I was like, man, the spacing on this team is still really, really, you know, interesting is the word that I'll use.
Mm-hmm.
And there's still obviously opportunity to make this team better. But I was like, all right, let me snap out of that. This is a banger of a draft, or of a trade, rather, that this team made for a couple of reasons. You mentioned one of those, which is the young, talented players that this team has. You've not lost really any of those. Jalen Green is the youth that you lost in this. And that was the guy that I think a decent amount of the fan base had developed questions, or felt like their question had been answered in a negative fashion when it came to, can he be the guy that you kind of need him to be what you want to be, which is, in order to contend, can he be that lead guy? And maybe you look at him as kind of like Donovan Mitchell, who, you know, was not as efficient, young, who was a volume scorer, and eventually became a guy who could be that type of guy, even though he has not won at the highest level just yet. But that took quite a lot of growth and development and change of the roster around him, and then ultimately a move. That feels like, hey, I'm okay with that going. Dylan Brooks, I'm okay. Like, I think he sets the tenacity and the tone for this team in a way last year that I really appreciated, but that all still seems to feed from Ime, and I feel like you've got guys that bring some of that tenacity still on this team. I think you're still able to do that, and even if you sacrifice there, I'm okay with it. The thing that I really was amazed by was I understood that those guys were going to be guys that Rafael Stone was not going to want to move off of. The idea that they still also hold Phoenix's future in draft picks is fascinating to me. So that 2027 and 2029 first-round picks for Phoenix, I thought that those would be the give back, ultimately. I thought that was the reason why you set it up last year, right, where you did the trade with Brooklyn to acquire their future, is that, hey, when push comes to shove and we need to use this as leverage, we will use this as leverage. And they didn't even do that. So even now, you look at the Suns, where I think they got probably a roster of 10 shooting guards and nothing else. Yeah. I'm not betting on them being good in the next 3 or 4 years. No. So you still have an opportunity of being good beyond it. Like, anybody that has questions about Kevin Durant and his viability going forward over the next few years, you still have all the young guys that you were looking to build with right now, and you still have the opportunity to get some really good draft picks, in my estimation, in the future. This is a banger.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Because that was my whole thing all along in our conversations leading up to this in the past months, that I would not sacrifice the future for a couple years of Kevin Durant right now. But they didn't do that, to your point. Not only do you keep the young talent, you keep the first round picks to be able to fortify the roster moving forward and get more young talent in. So you get your cake and you get to eat it too, where you try to compete for championships now. They become a clear, I mean, I would have considered them already a contender, but they become a clear championship contender now in the NBA. And also, even if Durant's only here for, say, 2-3 years tops, you still have these pieces to continue to build, and the draft picks as well to continue to build beyond Durant. So it's that perfect situation where you get best of both worlds. You try to win now, and you don't close your window to, okay, we need to compete in the next 2 to 3 years because then it's going to be a teardown rebuild. I don't think that's going to be the case here. You can try to compete for a long time for this Rockets team just with different variations, which is, as we've already said, why I thought it was the perfect deal. And it shows the lack of leverage that the Suns had. You had a 37-year-old with an expiring deal. The market maybe wasn't as strong as the Suns were expecting. And so maybe Rockets pessimists who don't like this deal can point to that as a reason to be concerned about bringing in Durant. But it just didn't take as much to get Durant as maybe I or some other people had thought a few weeks or months ago. And that's why it's the perfect situation, because you have the best of both worlds. You could try to go win a championship now and still sustain the success long-term after Durant leaves.
Definitely. In fact, if you are even still a pessimist on this deal, let us know. 713-572-4610 is the number to text. There's also the Mo Karam Injury Lawyer live streams, both on YouTube and on Twitch. Appreciate that. I realized I did that well out of order. My bad. But yeah, Twitch is Sports Radio 610. Twitch is 610 Houston. The YouTube page is Sports Radio 610, where many people talking about when they learned about this deal. Kix Rock said that he was in the passenger seat of a moving truck yesterday.
Oh.
And passenger seat is the best place to learn it if you are indeed in a moving vehicle, right? Because if you're driving, you have all the desire in the world to do the thing you're not supposed to do, which is text and get on Twitter as you're driving. Or maybe you call someone in that moment and have them dictate things
That's
to
right.
you. But other than that, like, I feel like passenger seat is probably a good space to be if you're in a car.
That's true. That's a good point. Then you got to fill in the driver as well, everything that's going on. Sounds like a TLC lyric. Passenger side of a best friend's ride.
There you go. There you go. Go ahead. No scrubs. That's what the Rockets are. No scrubs on this roster. Someone else said that they Bar None said they were smoking a rack of ribs and two drunk chickens when they heard the news. Oh, you were already having a good day.
Man.
That might have been
that was
like
11 o'clock in the morning, wasn't it?
Well, you know, you got to make sure that you're ready for like lunch and dinner, right? So if you get that going. B. Sky said he was watching Love Island trying to get away from the from the big news geopolitically that happened this week.
Oh yeah.
All right, that's fair.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, that was a great distraction there, wasn't it? For
it's
B.
funny,
Sky.
I was actually cutting the grass.
Didn't you just cut the grass on Juneteenth?
No, it's a long process. I only got one battery, man. So it took me like 3 or 4 days to cut the grass. It was a lot of grass, man.
You cutting grass over like 3-4 days?
The battery kept dying, man. I couldn't knock it out at one time.
The battery of what? You got a lawnmower that runs on battery?
Yeah. So I got a trimmer. I got an electric trimmer.
Uh-huh.
And it comes with a battery.
And you're using the trimmer to cut all the grass?
Yeah. Because I don't have a lot of grass, but the grass got very high.
You got enough grass to take a long weekend to cut.
Yeah, yeah. So I finished up the grass. But by the time I got in the house, I'm like, wait a minute. Because I seen everybody talking about the trade, but I didn't see Shams' report. So I'm like, let me go to Shams' page real quick. And I'm like, oh, they did it.
You're like, wait a minute, it's Sunday? I went out on Friday to start cutting the grass.
You come back inside, yeah. What day is it?
Yeah.
Jeez.
I think at that point, pay somebody to do this. Man. Like, yeah,
Or the real thing is, don't let the grass get too high. Yeah. Because the grass was super high, man.
Oh, I had not considered
it. It was damn near up to my chest.
Oh, wow.
It was kind of high.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, see, then you definitely pay someone to do it. That's... Wow.
I'd be worried about what's in that grass at that point.
Yeah, there's no way I'm going in knee-high grass.
See, that's why I had to go on and do it, man, because I'm like, you know what? Let me get I got a trimmer for Father's Day, pretty much. I'm not a father. And
you got responsibility for a gift.
Yeah.
It's one of the things I hate about, like, the Christmas season when you're watching the TV commercials, and Lexus is the biggest... Is the biggest violator here? Like, buy a Lexus for the holidays. The big bow on it. I'm like,
yeah.
So you bought them a car note?
Yeah.
Is what you? Because I know
you ain't paid this car in full.
What significant other is like, here's a car, and they don't go, you did this without talking to me?
Yeah. I know it, right?
Right, like that is insane.
And you sure ain't paying no $80,000 for a car.
And if you are paying that
straight
cash,
up,
if you are paying that in cash, either y'all are independently wealthy or you have some real questions. Because where did all that money come from?
Yeah, my first question: who paying all of this? Where did you get this money from?
some other ways that people learned about the trade that brought Kevin Durant to Houston. From the 8-2, they were playing a match on Call of Duty. One of the random teammates was it from Phoenix. Oh, the sounds of that had to be hilarious.
Yeah.
Because I imagine it feels like people did not people wanted him to stay. Although let's hear from KD, because KD learned this on stage at Fanatics Fest, which I want to talk about Fanatics Fest in and of itself. I don't understand what this thing is. Like as a convention, I understand it's a convention and conventions are large and they have a lot of things. I've seen so many different videos from this convention in all different facets that really raise questions as to what is actually happening there. I thought Fanatics did cards and apparel, and there's people eating chicken tenders, and I was very confused. But what was not confusing, or maybe it was confusing to the people in the audience, Kevin Durant was on stage with Taylor Rooks when the news seemed to break on people's phones, and so they were trying to figure it out on the stage. And then afterwards, he talked to Kay Adams, who was working with Fanatics as an interviewer. This was her talking about or asking KD what was going on.
Fanatics Fest is crazy. If you haven't been here and been tapped in, anything can happen at Fanatics Fest, like me getting traded. But being a part of the Houston Rockets, I'm looking forward to it. Crazy, crazy last couple weeks, but I'm glad it's over with.
All right, and then right after that, Kay asked him an important question because he kind of played it when he was on stage, like, yo, what's happening, with a half smirk, but I can't tell if that was just KD being KD. KD, you knew this before, right?
I had an idea, but I didn't know exactly when it was going to happen, so I'm glad we kind of did this on stage. It worked out. Fanatics Fest deserved to have that moment.
That's some real, I got paid to be here. Fanatics Fest deserved to have that moment.
Yeah, like, come on. That sounds like an advertisement, brother.
Yeah, seriously. You got DJ Khaled stuffing down chicken tenders over here. But thank goodness we got the announcement while KD's on stage at FanFest.
We needed this for Fanatics Fest.
Yeah, please.
They needed this. They deserve this one.
I think he certainly knew, or at least like he said, had the idea. You're talking with the agent and like, hey, we're getting close, or the Rockets are, you know, we're working out things. It looks like it's going to be the Rockets. It's just like the whole LeBron-Luka trade where LeBron's like, I had no idea. I find it hard to believe when anything happens in the NBA that these players, especially when it involves them directly, that they don't have some sort of heads up. I doubt Durant actually got the news and found out when he's on the stage there. Hey, by the way, you just got traded to the Rockets. I'm sure he knew it was coming. Didn't exactly know the details, maybe when, what the trade would be. But, you know, they're saying, hey, we're getting close. It's going to happen probably this weekend, whatever it is. And for good reason, he should be excited to come to Houston.
All right, there's a lot more time to talk more about this, but I did want to play you this. This was Kay asking KD a very good question, in my opinion. Did you have a hand in this? Because obviously we knew that there was some places that he wanted to go, but the Phoenix Suns were talking to teams that were not on his list. This was KD answering that question.
Most definitely. Yeah. I mean, they asked me where I wanted to go, some of my destinations. I gave it to them, and here we are.
Okay, so I took that to mean, and tell me if you think I'm wrong. Like, okay, this is one of the places I wanted to go, but he seemed to also have a little bit of thrust to almost being like, no, I kind of called this in particular, which is one of those things that I think makes this even more, I don't know, agreeable, more of a trade that I enjoy. And we knew that, you know, he has a relationship with Ime, and we'll talk more about some of the other relationships that he has with the team. But the idea that he very much wanted to thrust for this team in particular, I think speaks to what this organization has done, speaks to what Houston has become in the eyes of athletes. But I think it speaks to also a commitment to making this team really, really good at basketball this year.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think it goes both ways, that it tells you what Durant thinks of this team and what they're building. And then you always want a guy that actually wants to be here. There's nothing worse than having that unhappy star who is looking for a way out or the next destination, or is not happy when they get traded. So, of course, you want the guy to want to be here as well. Durant obviously wanted to be here. He picked those three teams, the Heat, Spurs, and the Rockets. And I think the Rockets can make the best case for any of the three, and that's where Durant winds up. So it's nice not only to get the star like this, but the guy that actually wants to be here knows what they have here in Houston and now can be part of it.
Yeah, so Kevin Durant, newest Houston Rocket after a trade yesterday that sent Jalen Green, Dylan Brooks, the number 10 pick in this upcoming draft, and 5 second-round picks. We'll talk more about that as we continue on In the Loop right here on Sports Radio 610. But coming up next, there was a basketball game yesterday as well. NBA Finals wrap up with the Oklahoma City Thunder as the champions, and I kind of put together some lessons that I took away from the finals. What of these could maybe help the Rockets as they continue to go forward, especially with their newest player, Kevin Durant? Let's talk about that next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Yeah, happy Monday to you. You are in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. I'm Reginald Atula. That is Luke Morrow in for the OG, John Lopez. Figgy Fig, as always, making it sound good, making it roll well. And you rolling with us, adding your input and helping us have a great Monday. 713-572-4610 is the text line. There's also, again, the Mo Karam Injury Lawyer live streams, both on the YouTube page, Sports Radio 610, and on Twitch, 610 Houston, where Kevin Durant is a Rocket. It traded yesterday, or acquired in a trade that sent Jalen Green, Dylan Brooks, the number 10 overall pick, and 5 second-round picks to Phoenix. And we were talking a little bit in the previous segment about how you learned about the Kevin Durant trade. And there's a lot of different ways that y'all picked that up. Somebody said they were leaving church. Divine intervention, even though they have mixed feelings about the trades, and they're not sad that Jalen Green is out and that you kept most of the young guys. That's fair. Someone else mentioned that they were in church and their phone was going crazy. I want to know what kind of church you go to, because I feel like certain churches, if your phone goes crazy, you're getting some crazy looks. You might get a little bit of a physical contact. You know what I mean? Like, I want to know what happened at your church when your phone started going crazy. Also, how many other phones were going crazy? Or was it just you in there feeling like you couldn't do nothing about it? But yeah, let us know how you learned about the trade. What else happened yesterday in basketball is, oh yeah, an NBA champion was crowned.
It was
The Oklahoma City Thunder.
Oh yeah.
Oklahoma City Thunder. Yeah, they are the NBA champions, getting a victory. They barely scratched 100 in this one, which Evan talked about the defense that happened in this game. But ultimately, they won 4-3, game 7 Do you feel like Game 7 delivered, Luke? Because I know that that has been a question for some folks. I enjoyed it, but I'm also never the guy that you use as a baseline for this because I'm a hoop sicko. Like, I have gone to middle school basketball games and had a very good time, which tells you just like I am here for.
Oh, yeah. You a sick individual.
Sicko. So I'm not the guy. But I saw some people saying that, you know, especially after Halliburton gets injured, and we'll talk more about that with the question of the day, that they felt like we were robbed. And I don't know if I can entirely felt that, especially because the Pacers tried, like continued to keep it close. They had a lead at half. And I mean, they even gave you a little bit of comeback flavor in the fourth quarter, narrowing it down to maybe about 10 late in the game.
Yeah, it was still interesting, but I just felt like when Halliburton went down, that just kind of, look, the Thunder already entered the game as a big favorite, and then at that point, even though it was a close game, it was still just the first quarter, they were still, if you were to look at the live odds, like a 10-point favorite. So it just, I felt like took the air out of the balloon, and even though the Pacers did fight hard the rest of the way, as they did all postseason and all series, I never felt that fear, although going into the game, I thought the Thunder would win, and I thought they'd win by about double digits, close to. They've won every home game in the playoffs by at least 7 points. So I was expecting the same.
But, ball knower Luke.
But then once you lose a Halliburton, it's just like, Pacers can't do this. So I do think it took some air out of the Game 7 balloon last night. But still, overall, it was a fun Game 7 to wrap up what was a fun NBA Finals. At least it wasn't some sort of 30-point blowout over at halftime. There was still a reason to watch to the fourth quarter. And it was still an enjoyable Game 7.
All right, so I took some lessons out of these finals as a whole. Obviously, the Game 7 factor in with that as well. And I'm interested in some of the lessons that maybe you took away. And maybe what are the potential applications, if any, for your hometown Rockets as you hope to be contenders? In fact, you look at the odds, and the Rockets have the second-best odds of all NBA teams to win the championship in 2026. And so with that being the case, one of the lessons of the finals that I had is something that was mentioned, I think by Howard Beck. And I was like, huh, it's one of those things that I don't think about enough, but matters, which is that the feelings of a closeout game are a whole nother level from the idea of just the feelings of a playoff game. So we talked about that a lot here locally, the idea, and I think me and you, especially because we were able to have a conversation and we host a show before the Rockets started game one of the playoffs. And we were like, yo, what is it going to be like for this Rockets team that has very little experience for a majority of the guys? Obviously, Fred VanVleet, Steven Adams been in those spaces, but and Dylan Brooks had also been in the playoffs, obviously, but that have not been in the playoffs to feel what it feels like to be in that different level. Those closeout games that you had in these finals, it was entirely different. Like, you saw that, obviously, Game 6 was one of those for the Thunder, and you could see the nerves that existed, the ways in which they were kind of off kilter for a team that's played a lot of playoff basketball and has been a favorite in a lot of playoff basketball this year. They had nerves. And similarly, it felt like there was nerves on both sides in Game 7 to some degree, except, obviously, Oklahoma City was able to get the boon of, not that you won it, but of an injury that allowed them to kind of lock in and get more turnovers, but the turnovers that were happening by Oklahoma or by Indiana, I think, also factored into that somewhat as well.
That was my concern with this Thunder team throughout the playoffs, was just maybe that youth and inexperience. And I think it showed itself specifically in this finals, where they kind of played with their food a little bit. And even in games where they'd get a big lead and then they would cough it up. I mean, game one, when they lost, that was a inexcusable game to lose. And I felt like that was a team that, playing in their first NBA Finals game, just showed some of that youth and inexperience and allowed the Pacers to come back and win the game. And you mentioned Game 6. I was actually in for you last week, the day of Game 6, if I remember correctly. And I was talking about that with Lopez, and that was my fear for the Thunder, that I wasn't sure if they could close out Game 6 because of that. You know, they're a young team. You're on the road. You have Game 7 at home. Is the focus going to be there? And it really wasn't. Even with a banged-up Halliburton, the Pacers totally outpaced and outplayed the Thunder that night. So, yeah, that idea of those games being so much more important for especially the younger teams and the guys that haven't been there before, where it's a new experience, I think there is a big difference between those closeout games and just a regular playoff.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Tough game.
And not to be too ham-fisted, I think that that's one of the reasons why Kevin Durant is a huge acquisition, because in those moments where you kind of need a, all right, let's grab the reins and pull this back. Previously, what you'd say maybe Fred VanVleet would be that guy, But he also, we saw him had struggles in some instances where he's like, I have to try and go make something out of nothing. He did an admirable job. I think that that is particularly what you have Kevin Durant for in those moments, to be like, all right, guys, I'm bringing us home. You need that caliber of player. Feels like he has the pace, possibility of being that.
It's true because, you know, the Pacers are also pretty young. It's not like they had a lot of playoff experience or finals experience, but they did have Pascal Siakam. And they had Rick Carlisle, who obviously has a ton of experience as the oldest coach to be in the NBA Finals, which is a crazy stat.
That's so wild to think about.
Yeah, it's remarkable. So now you look at the Rockets and you have Ime, who has that championship and playoff experience. And now you add Durant, who's Siakam times 10 with his playoff experience. And sometimes that's all you need is that one guy, the experienced coach, and that could be enough to be able to handle the playoff concerns.
So one of the another things that was a lesson of the finals for me personally was that your grade school coach was right. Turnovers matter. Mm-hmm. They're everything. Like, they were everything, at least in this series. You could really plot the course of the series based off of who had turnovers, and maybe more importantly, who scored off of turnovers because of how stout both defenses were, which kudos to the Pacers, because they did not come in as the, they did not come in as the team that was being vaunted as a historically good defense. The Thunder did, except both of them came in and had great defense. The Thunder were not all that good in the half court. And so when they won games, because they stole the ball and they got out in transition. When the Pacers made it really tough on the Thunder is when they stole the ball, gotten out in transition. And in this game, it was another one of those, hey, high turnover games, 23 for the Pacers, 8 for the Thunder. Like, that's going to be huge. And that's where Fred VanVleet for this Rockets team is going to be important. That's where I'm actually very interested with Reed Sheppard probably taking up more of the Aaron Holiday minutes. How good is he going to be at having a good assist-to-turnover ratio in addition to trying to find his shot and get guys involved?
I'm with you. That was one of three things I had for lessons from the finals, is not only the turnovers, but as you were just kind of getting to, just being able to have those ball handlers. And I think that's something the Rockets still need to work on. We'll talk more about the future of the Rockets for this offseason now that they have Durant, but I think that is something that you need to make sure you have shored up, because even in this series, the Thunder and the Pacers, as good as they looked at the guard positions, as you just laid out, they had problems. I mean, TJ McConnell had 7 turnovers last night in half the game. They just couldn't handle each other's ball pressure and some of that pressure in the backcourt. So that's a huge thing, and I think that's something the Rockets still need to look at to make sure they're ready for the postseason with the ball handlers and the guards that they'll have moving forward.
And I'll throw this one in here real quick, and maybe we can revisit some of this later. Coaching clearly matters, and mm-hmm. that's something that seems obvious, but I think in a different level, you mentioned Rick Carlisle, literally the oldest coach to do this in a NBA Finals, which seems crazy because we've seen dudes in the NBA Finals look decrepit, and here's Rick Carlisle looking like Jim Carrey out there as technically the dude who is oldest to be in this spot. And you saw the difference. Him, I love getting Jenny Buchek a lot of love as his, I think she's his lead assistant, but one of his high assistants. They had such a clearness and conviction in the way that they went about their game plan in general. And you saw that the Thunder constantly had the same things happening to them all series long, which would seem to indicate that it was a pressure point that the Pacers were trying to hit that kept happening. And you look at that conversely, Mark Daigneault, I don't think even in maybe in game 7, he kind of settled in. And he's a good coach, don't get me wrong. But like you saw, he felt like he was searching when it came to roster construction and, you know, rotations. That double big lineup that had been so good for them, how does this sound familiar at all? Like he went away from it and did not use it nearly as much in this series as you would have imagined. He allowed it to be dictated to him. And I felt like that coaching matchup really extended a series in which the Thunder should have been able to close it out earlier. Obviously, again, credit to the Pacers because of that. But that coaching level matters. And looking at Ime, I think that he now has a big question in front of him, and we could talk more about that later. But KD comes in, but he does not entirely bring an offensive identity. He brings an offensive weapon that's really huge and that you can utilize in some situations. If you want to be a champion, they're going to need to find an offensive identity, though.
Yeah, I can get behind that. And your point to coaching, I think it shows up in the playoffs. I think you get through the regular season with almost anyone. Like, J.J. Redick did fine in the regular season, and then I thought he got exposed in the playoffs. Like, that's where you really find out about these coaches. They actually have to do some coaching and working truly in the playoffs. And Carlisle thought really outcoached his counterpart in the first half of the series, and then it kind of leveled out, and I didn't like how he had Siakam on the bench for as long as he did last night, Carlisle. But just as a random side note, by the way, Carlisle, I wouldn't have guessed, was 65. And the other thing to randomly, I didn't know Tom Thibodeau was about to turn 68, admittedly. When I watched him on the sideline, I thought he was a lot younger. I found out he's 68 years old. I was like, dang, that's pretty good for him.
You know what it is? He looks like George Costanza. And you also know that George Costanza was oddly young And that at that point, even Jason Alexander himself was pretty young at that time period when they were filming Seinfeld. A weird thing to reference, but I know Luke is a Seinfeld.
That's right.
So I knew that hit you. I think it's the George Costanza of it all.
It's true. It's like Larry David, too. When you already look old, when you're 40 years old, like then you always look young in a way because you just never change. While
that's
everyone
right.
else is aging, you look the same for 30 years. So it in your mind, there's still that 40-year-old.
I think we got to it. Someone said, Ime is an elite coach. OKC's coach is an elite. I mean, you can use the word elite. I wouldn't, and I still... Honestly, we're going to have conversations, and hopefully the conversations are brief with what they show us. Offensively, this team still had a lot to go, and we'll talk more about that as we go. But you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's talk about a little bit more about Tyrese Haliburton, because that inspired the question of the day. Brian Windhorst said that Scott Van Pelt, rather, that the Tyrese Haliburton injury affected him more than any other he's seen. What injury was that for you? 713-572-4610. What injury affected you most? Let's talk about it next. Nah, it's Luke Morrow in for John Lopez. I'm still Reginald Atula, Figgy Fig in with you. Let's get into our question of the day here on this Monday. NBA Finals Game 7 happened yesterday, and it was a little bit tough for some folks involved, especially like there was a lot of buildup here. Anybody could win it. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander coming out here. Can he establish himself as the MVP that ultimately gets it done? He does. However, on the other side, it was supposed to be, can Tyrese Haliburton, Pascal Siakam, and the rest of everybody manage to be the first team in a long time to be one that wins a championship without having a single player scoring over 20? And nope. Unfortunately, Tyrese Haliburton has a tragic injury in the second quarter, and we find out, although if you're watching the video, if you've watched enough basketball, you know what to look for with an Achilles injury. And I'm not going to say it because every time I think about it, it's very vivid, and I don't want that to be the case for folks, but there's something to look for when you are looking at that leg when it's planted. And I saw it, and I was like, oh, yeah, that's an Achilles. And so in that moment, I was like, damn, that really sucks for him. Yeah. I know a lot of people were like, that really sucks for Tyrese, who seemed like he was having an incredible run in the postseason.
But it was a historic run.
Really and truly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Really and truly. All the comebacks and everything that he had, and the way that he took the Pacers in one postseason from a team that was not really considered all that highly to a team that I think a lot of people were rooting for. Brian Windhorst of ESPN was on with Scott Van Pelt after this game, and he said to Scott something that I did not really understand fully, the idea that Tyrese Haliburton injury affected him more than any other he's seen. And so that made me think, what injury affected you most? 713-572-4610, whether a personal one or a sports one that you saw. But with this Tyrese Haliburton one, do you understand that thought process? Because, I mean, I feel like I've seen, especially in basketball, even over the last 10, 15 years, some injuries that I felt were more gruesome or more hurtful, although I guess maybe just the opportunity to close out a series and finish out what would have been like an incredible legacy definer, I don't know, for Tyrese Haliburton in that moment.
Yeah, I guess that's it. Now, I was surprised by that comment from Windhorst, because for me, I didn't see it that same way for a couple reasons. Number one, it wasn't overly gruesome. That's usually those are the ones that stay with me most. Number two, it wasn't even completely unexpected. When something happens, like a freak injury that's completely unexpected, that really catches you by surprise. Where Haliburton, this was the concern. I mean, there were debates last week about should the Pacers even bother playing Haliburton already down 3-2 and risk potentially losing him for all of next season, which is now their reality. Should you just take the loss and try to come back with a healthy Haliburton next year? So this was the concern. This was the Durant, as we've been talking about Durant today, with the calf injury that leads to the Achilles tear or pop, unfortunately. So for those reasons, I was surprised by the comments when it happened. Yeah, it stinks. I never want to see anyone get injured. It's kind of gross to see the way it plays out, and you can see the popping in the leg. But no, it wasn't overly gruesome. It wasn't overly unexpected. So this is not some sort of injury that's going to stay with me as one of the worst injuries down the road.
So what is that injury for you? Because a lot of people getting in on the text line. One of the obvious ones that pops up is the Chris Paul hamstring here in Houston. I mean, it felt like the Rockets had spent a half decade building up a team in order to knock off that Warriors team.
Yeah.
And it felt like they got to the place to do that. And you were just a split second away from making it happen. And then Chris Paul has this hamstring injury that makes it so that as you get so close to the sun, your wings melt and you fall to the sea.
Yeah, flew too close to the sun.
That's
on the
right.
Wings of pastrami, to reference Seinfeld again. a lot of people have said Deshaun Watson and Chris Paul already in the text line, and that's what Sean and Seth said earlier. So I get a lot of people are going more for that emotional side of things. For me, it's more about the gruesome aspect of these injuries. And so the easy answers for me are Kevin Ware. We were watching that was on Easter, and
that was
on
my list. Yeah, that was on my list.
It was Easter, so we had the family over. We're all watching the game, and then that happens. And again, I go back to A, being unexpected. You could never anticipate that. And then B, being gruesome. And it's on March Madness. Everyone's watching national TV. It was disgusting. It was gross. That's number one. And then along the same lines was Gordon Hayward, where, again, national game. You never were going to suspect that injury. He just signed with the Celtics 2017. And that was one I didn't watch live, but I started to get all the texts from my friends. Oh, did you see that? And I flipped over the channel and saw it. And that was gross. So those are the two. And then I would also throw in, I think it was Tony Saunders. He's not the only guy. It's happened a few times, but a pitcher who, when he threw a pitch, his arm like shattered. He broke his arm by throwing a pitch.
Yeah.
And you can hear him screaming right away. And that's one that sticks with me too, because that was pretty gross. And also that fear of just a pitcher simply throwing a pitch and he suffers that brutal of an injury. Like, you worry about that could happen to anybody anytime. So to answer your question with three answers, those are the three that always jump right to the front of my mind.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely fair to like have that in that space. That actually reminds me of one of the ones that I was thinking of for certain, because it ruined, not that I was all in on the sport, but there was maybe a slight ajar nature of the door for me possibly finding my way into this sport. And then I was like, never, I can't do it. And that is Anderson Silva snapping his leg on that kick.
Yes.
And I was like, yeah. I'm too squeamish for this MMA, man. Like, I can't do it, brother. Like, even boxing, like, I understand there's some things that can happen in boxing, but a snap like that, brother, he looked like when you play pencil break. Like, that's what it looked like. I was like, that is insane to me. And so seeing that, I was like, yeah, I'm completely out. That one did it for me in a way that some of the other ones, because I understand what you're saying, like doing a thing that is like normal and then having that break, which in UFC, just kicking that leg is normal, but you miss it by a little bit. You miss your spot by a little bit. And all of a sudden it's wrapping around like one of them slap bracelets. And I was like, no, I'm good here. I'm 100% done there.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, mine's Kevin Ware was on my list. But the other one that stick with me is the Paul George injury.
Yep.
When he got when his foot got caught in between the hoop.
Extension, yeah.
Yeah, that one I was just like, oh, I thought his career was over, man.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he still came back and played pretty well, but that one I always got that image in my head, man.
Yeah, and what was tough was that was a Team USA showcase. So it was kind of a not super important game, but then ultimately, so it takes him out of the, you know, obviously your international competition that you were going for. It wasn't in the competition that you normally know him for with the NBA. That was tough. Some other ones that have come in on the text line. Someone said Aiden Hutchinson's injury was awful. One that came up a few times is a hockey one that I was not familiar with. Clint Malarchuk, who apparently suffered a throat injury, where in 89, the skate of an opposing player came in contact with his throat and severed his jugular.
Yeah.
And I don't think I'm going to stop holding my neck during the rest of this segment, because, yeah, that one's going to be devastating. I'm not looking up the video. I'll tell you that. I'm definitely not looking up the video on that one. And that's probably a leader in the clubhouse here.
I've seen that video before. I never knew the name. Yeah, that one is gross and troubling. I think there's three types of people specifically with injuries. The one type is the people that don't want to see them at all. The second type is the curious type. You got to see it once, which I would say is me, and then you don't need to see it again. And then there's the third type that almost gets off on like watching it over and over. Tom Segura, the comedian, does that, where they watch people get injured and over and over again and laugh about it and joke. I can't do that. But I think those are the three types of people when it comes to injuries.
Yeah, and I think the producer at ESPN or the director of the broadcast was the third, because, man, how many times are you going to show us Tyrese Halliburton's injury? They sent it to break before halftime saying, and we'll talk more about that. And I was like, no, nobody wants to keep seeing this. Why are you doing this?
I will say this. I'd rather look at that 100 times rather than like a break. Like a leg being broken or
agreed.
Something being twisted awkwardly. Like, to me, that didn't bother me as much, but just looking at maybe like a Nick Chubb injury where you see somebody leg just get twisted up, and it's just that's the part that bothered me, where it's like, damn, that's not even normal.
A number of other ones that have come in. Wow, this one just came in. Rudy Tomjanovich getting punched by Kermit Washington. Yeah, especially like because that's in a time period where, you know, people kind of enjoyed still the fighting in basketball, except, oh, yeah, it can go really, really wrong Joe Theismann, the compound fracture, that one comes up a number of times. Of course, I don't, you know, neglect this, but Tank Dell's injury was pretty tough. Mm-hmm. That also comes back to some of the, it was gruesome because he tore all the CLs in his leg, but also, like, there's the emotion of season ending the prior season with the leg injury and, you know, the gunshot wound as well. So, like, this was just another on the ledger of injuries for him. Someone mentioned Nick Chubb's leg. The J.J. Watt sack of Alex Smith.
Yes.
Yeah.
That one's up there for sure. And then this one, I have a whole different thing about this, which is DeMar Hamlin. Don't get me started on DeMar Hamlin. And it's not negative towards DeMar himself. It's negative towards the way that the NFL and maybe other sports in particular, but like will kind of do this thing. And maybe just all of us will do the thing about like the this is a heartwarming story on the backside of this as if it wasn't the sport itself that did the injury to the player.
Right.
I'm like, it was playing football that made him injured. It's like, oh, look at him. The Ryan Shazier at the draft. Like, look at him walking. I'm like, yeah, but it was kind of football that did it.
Yeah, I was going to mention the concussions, like the Tua concussions where fingers kind of twist up.
Oh, that's true. Those
are
tough.
That happened to Tom Savage at one point. Yeah. Those are very uncomfortable.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah, it's like I referenced this last week. It's like the Boy Meets World episode, though, where they started the fire and then they put out the fire and they got the award for putting out the
fire. That's right.
It's similar to what you were just saying.
So we got a Seinfeld reference and then a Boy Meets World reference.
That's right.
What other only 90s references will we get from Luke in this program? You have to stay tuned to listen, to find out, rather. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's go around the NFL where Travis Hunter setting records in the NFL, and Tom Brady apparently doing some fun things at Fanatics Fest that I still want to ask some questions about. We'll do all that next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.